thinking. For years, this account of the wise men from the east is given in Matthew chapter 2. Has been of great interest to me, the question that these men ask. The coming of our Lord into the world was an unnoticed and in many respects an uneventful occurrence. He came in so quietly that when the wise men from the east came into the streets of Jerusalem, the Lord was somewhere between 2 and 3 years of age. And it wasn't known in the palace that the king of the Jews had been born. Let's notice here in this second chapter of Matthew . Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Startling question, as manifested in verse 3. See the effect the question had. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. And not only was King Herod troubled, but all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Just a simple announcement that a child had been born, and the question asked as to where was this one who had been born king of the Jews. Herod was king of Judea, having received that appointment, or purchased the appointment, as case may be, from the Roman emperor. Of course, the announcement that the legitimate or the real heir apparent to the throne or the real king of the Jews had been born would trouble Herod, because that would mean that soon his life of ease and affluence and his unlimited source of income would be cut off. And he's disturbed. Of course, another thing that has always attracted my attention is the title, King of the Jews. The hatred of the Jews has been in existence ever since God called Abram of Ur of the Chaldees. Many and varied are the reasons given as to why certain people say they hate the Jews. Few, if any, take notice of what the Word of God has to say as to why they're hated. Of course, we're witnessing today a rise of anti-Semitism that bids fair to rival any wave of anti-Semitism the world has seen as the United Nations vote to label Jews as racist, forgetful of the fact that the Jews as a minority group has been one group that have helped other minority groups. And if it wasn't for the help that the colored people have gotten from the Jews, they wouldn't occupy a position they do today as minority groups have banded together in order to combat the descendants of Japheth. But Matthew 24 tells us why the Jews are hated. And you might do well to turn there for a moment, that you might read it with your own eyes. In this 24th chapter, the disciples had asked the Lord in response to a statement he had made, what would be the sign of his coming. And he told them the sign of his coming would be a worldwide war, followed by famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places, followed by worldwide persecution of the Jews, followed soon thereafter by Israel becoming a nation again. And in the course of his statement, he gives expression to this thought in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you, the nations of the world, deliver the Jews, deliver you up to be afflicted. I read this afternoon the booklet or leaflet Brother Brown brought back from Israel, giving a brief resume of the life of Rose Warmer, to whom he referred a number of times and who belongs to the fellowship where we have been investing some money. And as she wrote of her 12 months in the concentration camp and the atrocities heaped upon them, you can understand how they were afflicted. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the Gentiles, of all the nations, or all the heathen. I call your attention again to the fact that the word translated nations is also translated Gentiles, and it's also translated heathen. It's the same word. The Greek word is ethne, from which we get ethnic and ethnology, etc. It's the same word translated three different ways. It's Gentiles and nations. You're going to be hated of all of the nations for my name's sake. They're hated for Christ's name's sake. They're hated because Christ loves them. Now that's the reason they're hated. The Lord loved them and loves them, and so the rest of the world hates them. Had the Lord chosen us, we would be as hated as they. They hate the Lord. They hate His people. They hate His Word. They hate His gospel. They hate His church. They're hated for His namesake. Now, that's the reason. And that's the only reason that they're hated, though many other reasons are given. I had one tell me one day that he hated the Jews because they had all the money in the world. And I'm old enough to remember the $64 question. You remember the $64,000 question, but I lived in the days when $64 was a big sum of money. And Art Linkletter was the master of ceremonies of the $64 question, and he was always asking a whole lot of Bible questions because He was adopted by a preacher and his wife and was reared in the minister's home and had some regard for things of the Lord. One question that was asked, how many of the 60 richest families in the world are Jews? Now, this was in the $64 era, which was back about 1917, 18, 19, some way back there somewhere. And none of them got the answer. The answer was none. The 60 richest families in the world at that particular time were Gentiles. Not until they came to the 61st did they come to a Jew. Having coffee one day with a couple of Jews and president of one of the banks in the town where I was pastor, they got to talking about money. And one of the Jews said, "Preacher, let me tell you this." Said, one day Saul was talking to Levi. He got to thinking about something. And he said, "Levi, where are these Gentiles getting all this money we're taking away from them?" Now, that's funny. No, that's right. You laugh. Where are the Gentiles getting it? Well, they have it. It's not because of the money. Well, they have a superior air and attitude, and they're clannish, and they're this, and they're that. That's not the reason. Those are just alibis anti-Semites give for their hatred of the Jew. Now, the Bible tells us here that they are hated because Christ loves them. And that's just the simple truth. If Christ didn't love them, and if Christ hadn't chosen them, it'd be different. There's a little quip quoted oft times by those who know the Jews and work with the Jews, that's interesting. How odd of God to choose the Jews. How odd of God to choose the Jews. Now, I've had many interesting experiences since I became identified with the work among the Jews. I was invited to speak to one of the major luncheon clubs here in the city soon after I came here. And as I went in, I was invited to come to the head table, and I had my Bible with me, and I put the Bible down. An attorney seated across the table from me said, "Who are you?" Rather belligerently, and I told him who I was. And he said, "You going to talk?" And I said, "Yes." Someone told him then that I was head of the Southern Hebrew Mission, I worked among the Jews, and he jumped up and shoved the chair back and said, "Are you a Jew?" I said, "If you are, I'm leaving." I said, "No, I'm not a Jew. Sit down." And he sat down, and he got smart, and the minute he said, "What are you going to talk about?" I said, "About 20 minutes. Well, he didn't say any more. For a while, and it came time for me to speak, I honestly felt led of the Lord to speak from Ezekiel 38 and 39 about Russia coming down into that. And when I got through, several friends got around and said, "Now I guess you'll quit baiting those Jews from now on." He hated the Jews, and he hated anybody that loved the Jews more than anybody I had ever seen. I was walking down the street one day, and he saw me coming, and he cut across the street and went down that side. Speak to me. And another time I was walking down the street and met him. He saw me and he stopped and started looking in the window. Got real close. And I got up, he went and I slapped him on the back and I said, "Well, how are you today?" And he turned and said, "Oh, it's you." said, how do you know Jews getting along? I said, they're getting along fine. That's here in Chattanooga. That was here in Chattanooga. I was invited to fill one of the larger pulpits of the city a few years ago. And one businessman said to another as I was going in, you going in here, Wilson? He said, no, I'm not going in and listen to that so-and-so Jew. I thought I was a Jew. But they're hated. They're hated. And all you have to do is listen to some of these newscasts about the United Nations. I was proud of our ambassador to the United Nations the other day when he vetoed that resolution that came up where they were making Zionism and Zionists to be racist. They're trying to contend that the Jew is not a race, that they're a religion. I've had many of them tell me, said, you're a Baptist, I'm a Jew. I said, no, I'm a Gentile and you're a Jew. And you are a race of people, not a religion. Now, this is all leading up to what I want to say. And it's this. One man in a group attempting to show me the horrors of Jewry said to me, don't you know that all of the meanest and the crookedest men in the world are Jews? And then he started naming all of the Jews, vicious, mean, criminals, that he could remember, and he named many of them. And he got through. He said, what do you think about that? I said, well, you left out one. And he said, who is that? And I said, Judas. He was a Jew. I said, have you ever thought about naming all the good Jews? He said, no, I never heard of any. I said, well, suppose we start with Jesus. I've been asked, was Jesus a Jew? I said, was he a Jew? I said, he is a Jew. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, look, in the second chapter of Matthew, these wise men coming from the east in verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? At his birth, he's labeled the King of the Jews. You remember his death on Calvary's cross? It was customary at the crucifixion of a criminal have their name and the crime for which they were executed on the cross. For the Lord they had Jesus of Nazareth. That's his name. What was his crime? He was the King of the Jews. And on the cross in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin was inscribed, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That infuriated the Jews to such an extent that they went to Pilate and said, change that writing. And instead of having up there Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, put, he claimed to be the King of the Jews. And because God was in it, Pilate was adamant in his stand. And he gave utterance to words very graphic in the Greek and also in the translation. In Greek, Pilate said, Hagiographa, Hagiographa. He stormed it out. which translated is, what I have written, I have written. Now, I wrote that, and it's going to stay. God was back of that, and it's going to stay because He is the King of the Jews. Now, the question arises, where is He that is born King of the Jews? That He was born is recognized by the world. Every newspaper you get, every legal document you get, every personal letter you write is indicted with the date. So many years after the year of our Lord. The meaning of A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Some think it means after death, but it's not after death. It dates from the time of His birth. Every nation in the world, pagan, communist, recognizes that today is December the 20th, I believe, 1975 years after the year of our Lord. Russia uses that. Turkey uses that. The Mohammedans use it. Confucius, Hindus, they all of them use it. He was born. And He lived. And He walked the shores of Galilee, the sands of Israel, and He taught in the cities, and He ministered throughout that area. And He died and was buried. Now many lose sight of Him when we come to the point of burial. You'd be amazed at the number of people who contend that His body is still in the grave. I have had ordained ministers of the gospel and pastors of churches tell me that they believed that His body was still in the tomb. Just His spirit arose, having no concept of the resurrection. Resurrection means to arise. Secondary, to live again. And since neither the soul nor the spirit die, since only the body dies, only the body can rise again. Only the body can be resurrected. Resurrection has to do with the body of flesh and bones and not with spirit and soul. But they don't believe in the resurrection of the body. But He arose. The tomb was open to reveal that it was empty. He appeared. Various and sundry cities and towns. He spent 40 days off and on with His disciples, instructing them in things pertaining to the kingdom. And then 40 days after His resurrection, He ascended on high. And that ascension was witnessed by His disciples, 11 of them. Judas, having committed suicide, they saw Him as He arose. Coming back from Okeechobee about a year ago, as we got along close to Orlando, somewhere in that area, we saw cars stopped all up and down the highway, people out standing and looking over in a certain area, and we slowed down and looked and saw a rocket that had been fired. And this is one that had to be aborted. But everybody's watching this rocket as it took off. And then they saw the abortion of it as it got out there in space. The disciples saw the Lord as he took off. He was out on the Mount of Olives with the 11 disciples, and with outstretched hands and arms, he was blessing them, and as he was blessing them, he began to ascend. And he went right on up into the heavens until the Shekinah glory of God Almighty in the form of a great cloud came and enveloped him and took him out of sight. But they just stood gazing. Perhaps they thought that he might come back. They didn't know what would happen. Their concept of the resurrection wasn't clear. But after a while, two men from heaven dressed in white came and stood by the disciples there on the Mount of Olives and said unto them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which ye have seen go into heaven shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him go." He's coming back just exactly like he went away. So we know that the king of the Jews, at about the age of 33, went back to heaven. There was a reason he went back to heaven. In Zechariah chapter 5, I'm going to wait for you to find that. Zechariah chapter 5, that's next to the last book in the Old Testament. Would you believe Hosea? Instead of Zechariah. And Hosea comes right after Daniel. Page 924 in the book which I have. In the fifth chapter, I'll show you why he went back to heaven. In the 15th verse of that fifth chapter of Hosea, the Lord is speaking, "I will go and return to my place. I'm going back home. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going back to the Father till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face." Who was it offended our Lord? It was the Jews. How did they offend him? By rejecting him and crucifying him. "I'm going back to my place, and I'm going to stay there till they acknowledge their offense. I'm going to stay there till they confess that they wronged me in rejecting me and crucifying me. They'll acknowledge their offense, and they'll seek my face." Now, in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, the first few verses, you needn't turn just now, but you can remember, in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, the first few verses, we're told that it shall come to pass one day when the Jews are scattered among all the nations of the world, that they will call to mind and remember the Lord their God. And they'll remember all of the blessings that God promised them. All of the curses he predicted to come upon them. And they'll turn to the Lord and call upon the Lord. And when they call upon him, he will answer and he'll return and deliver them. This bears out the same truth. I'm going to go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Now he tells us when they'll seek his face. In their affliction, come upon them. and they'll turn to the Lord and call upon the Lord. And when they call upon Him, He will answer and He will return and deliver them. This bears out the same truth. I'm going to go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Now He tells us when they'll seek His face: in their affliction. Another word for their affliction is the great tribulation. I'm amazed at the number of Christians that I encounter who contend that the church will go through the great tribulation. The great tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble. It's not the church's trouble, it's Jacob's trouble. In their affliction, in the affliction that God brings upon the nation of Israel. They had a slight touch of it under Hitler when one third of the Jewish population of the world was decimated. It's coming to a time, says Zechariah, when two thirds of the Jewish population will be executed. Two thirds. Not the church, not the Christians. This is upon the nation of Israel. In their affliction. In their affliction. Nobody knows, hardly. It's indescribable, the affliction that they endured under Hitler in the concentration camps. I had a friend that ministered in Budapest a great deal. He was a saved Jew, great student of the Word and prophecy. He had a ministry there in the First Baptist Church of Budapest. He told me one time when I saw him that he had just come from Budapest. They had over 2,000 Jews who were members of the First Baptist Church of Budapest, Hungary. In their affliction, there they turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. Rose Warmer tells of dying in excruciating pain and suffering, Jews trusting in the Lord. In their affliction, he says, they'll seek me early. Now in chapter 6, go right ahead, there should be no chapter division there because there's no break. This is what they used to call antiphonal writing or speaking. Group on one side would speak, and the group on the other side then would answer. The Lord over here speak, and then over here, Israel says, come, let us return unto the Lord. This is Israel speaking in the day of their affliction. For He hath torn, He will heal us, He hath smitten, He'll bind us up. That's what Israel says to the Lord. Let's go back. Let's go back to the Lord. Let's go home. He's torn us. He's afflicted us. He's smitten us. But He'll bind us up. And He'll heal us. After 2 days, will He revive us? One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. After 2,000 years, He'll revive us. It's been nearly 2,000 years since He went back to heaven. And after 2 days, after 2,000 years, after 2,000 years, He's going to revive us. The third day, He'll raise us up, and then we shall live in His sight. That third day will be the millennial reign of our Lord. Now, our Lord, the King of the Jews, where is the King of the Jews? He's in heaven. He's in heaven. Now, I want you to consider 4 things about the King of the Jews in answer to the question, where is He that is born King of the Jews? There are kings scattered all over the world today. There are kings who are in exile from their nation, and there are kings with governments built around them while they're in exile, hoping to return to their native country with their government and set it up once again. Now, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Well, the first place we notice, he's hated. He was hated then. Herod tried to kill him. Satan tried from the day the announcement made of his coming birth in Genesis 3:15, Satan tried to prevent his being born. Having been born, Satan tried to destroy him while he was here upon the earth. Satan tried to turn him from the cross. Satan tried to keep him in the tomb. Satan tried to prevent him rising from the dead. But he could not. And then, after our Lord returned to heaven and Satan could not get at him, Satan has centered his attacks upon the people of the Lord. He centered his attacks upon the Christians, upon the church. He's hated. But look, while he was being hated by Herod and all Jerusalem, there were wise men coming to pay homage to him. So we see him hated and rendered homage at the same time. Today, the King of the Jews is hated and he's despised. But despite that, there are those who do homage to him. And though it may be perverted and in many ways unscriptural, Christmas time and the Christmas season is a rendering of homage to the Lord after a fashion. There's an acknowledgement in the Christmas season of his having been born, of his existence. Where's the King of the Jews today? He's in exile. He's in exile. This calls to mind a statement, some things that are wrong with the world today. Number one, Jesus is not in his rightful place. His rightful place is as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the earth. The church is not in its rightful place. The church is the consort queen or bride of Christ to be ruling and reigning with him over the earth. The Christians themselves are not in their right place. They're to be his bond slaves, his servants, carrying out his will, taking the glorious message of salvation by grace to the end of the world. Satan is not in his right place. His right place is in the lake of fire where he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's part of the things that's wrong with the world today. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? He's in exile. But even in exile, he's forming a government about him. And he's leading an exodus. He's leading a large group of people out of this world into his coming kingdom. What is the effect of the coming of the King of the Jews? First of all, his coming brought sorrow and suffering. Look at Bethlehem, in which all of the male children, 2 years and under, and when you consider that one is 2 years of age until they reach their third birthday, you can see how many that might be. And all the male children of that age were slain. Look at the heartache and the heartbreak of the mothers. Jeremiah anticipating that day says, Rachel is weeping for her children and she'll not be comforted. Suffering and sorrow. But out of that suffering and sorrow arose song. song of hope and a song of joy. This suffering today. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You read the suffering of modern Christians under communism. And you wonder how God of love, a God of power and omnipotence can see His children suffer like that. But then out of that comes the song. Tomorrow, there's a better day coming. We're looking forward to that. Not only that, we have His promise ringing continually in our ears that He's coming back. And the one thing that keeps Christians going today more than any other thing is the prospect, the fact of His return. He is coming again. Now, how are those who believe in the Lord, and how was the Lord Himself accounted? In the prophecy of the second chapter of Matthew, it said He should be called a Nazarene, which meant a citizen of Nazareth. Had nothing to do with a religious group by that name at all. He's a citizen of Nazareth, and he's called a Nazarene. And the prophets of old had said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Mean, despised, insignificant was our Lord. I called attention to the fact a moment ago that His birth some 2 or 3 years prior to this announcement in Jerusalem had been unnoticed in the capitals of the world. The birth of a king. Why, such a thing as that couldn't happen today, could it? In human kingdoms and kings, but with Him, how was He accounted? He was counted as nothing. Nothing. Lowly, mean, insignificant. But then He was acknowledged as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? He's alive. He's in heaven. And He's coming back one day to assume the throne as prophesied. I want to close with reading the prophecy in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? What is He doing? One of the great prophecies, the Word of God. You do well to read this over and over. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? He's in heaven. He's coming back when Israel acknowledges her offense and seeks Him. Father, we thank Thee for the insight Thou hast given us to know, to understand, to comprehend, to appreciate the fact that He that was born King of the Jews is alive and one day will ascend the throne of David in Jerusalem and rule and reign over the house of Jacob forever. Father, grant unto us the grace to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, grant that as we go from here this evening, that the Spirit of Christ will fill our hearts and will reveal Himself to those with whom we come in contact. And that truly the Spirit of Christ will be manifest in this season of Christ Mass, or the time when Christ was sent into the world to save sinners. We ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.